With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to the Game Theory Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Vecini. We're presented by CLNS Media. Today on the show, Dieter Kurtenbach is back. We did draft coverage with Cole Zwicker because, well, Dieter doesn't give a shit about the draft. But
facts.
Dieter is back. We're going to bullshit for like an hour. That's all we have. Yeah. I have a hard out at 12 because Team USA is playing France. Dieter has a hard out at 12 for reasons.
Lunch,
sure. Lunch is important.
You're a growing six foot eight human,
so you need lunch and sustenance.
I noticed at the end of the playoffs that I grew maybe a little bit more than I suspected I would. So maybe there won't be lunch in the future. Nevertheless, the out is up. It's hard.
Let's jump in. Let's talk about some free agency stuff. I'll just note at the top here. We're going to do a draft podcast next week with Cole Zwicker. I felt like that would be better because it could also act as like kind of a summer league preview. Plus, everyone is doing like all of their draft podcasts and stuff like last week. And free agency's coming up. We want to do like a mini free agency preview podcast with Dieter today. I took a few days off earlier this week. That's why there's only one podcast. I don't know if you noticed, but I wrote like 35,000 words last week.
So it almost killed you.
I needed a break. And I figured that a couple of days at the beginning of this week was probably the best way to do it. So, Dieter, how are things in your life, man?
Oh, boy. I'm in Seattle right now, and we are now beginning. I think that many of the listeners can understand this. This is the Summer of Weddings Tour 2019, and it is just an incredible list. We got Seattle, we got Scotland, and then rural Montana. Because what the hell? But then we get to go to LA at the end of August. A little bit of a separation, a special date on the tour. But this one, I don't know if I've been looking forward to it as much as I've been daunted by the Summer of Weddings 2019 for several months now, and it's underway, and I'm still pretty intimidated.
Yeah, the Vecini wedding on August 24th is certainly going to be, if not the crown jewel of that, it'll be a wedding at least.
Are you getting married in a barn in rural Scotland, though?
We are not getting married in a barn. We're getting married. I'm not going to say where it is, given the fact that I gave out the date. But it is a good. It is like a water garden kind of thing, basically.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm actually not allowed to share where it is, like based off of the contract.
I wasn't pressing you for info. I wasn't looking for sources here. I was just saying.
No, of course.
We have the Scottish angle. I don't know what the hell is going to go on in Montana. And then there's the Kurtenbach family reunion in Colorado Springs, in which I get to drive a car from Chicago across the nation. So I might be dead by the end of all this. I might preview free agency and never see it come to an end.
Oh my God. Let's just jump in. We'll talk about free agency. Harrison Barnes declined
that's
his
where,
option.
That's definitely where you start when we talk let's about start NBA with Harrison free Barnes agency in 2019. It starts with Harrison Barnes.
It just happened. So let's just dive in.
You're right. Recency bias. Here it is. And I love me some Harry B. So it's all good.
Yeah. If anyone is qualified to talk about Harry B, it's Dieter. So
yes, sir. that got euphemistic fast. I'd never heard it before right now, but yeah, that's not great. Maybe just Harrison.
Harrison signed is going to sign a 4-year, $88 to $90 million contract, depending on if you believe Carmichael Dave, the great radio host in Sacramento, or if you believe Mark Stein, the great reporter over at the New York Times. This is more than what I think people thought Harrison Barnes was worth, but.
Sam,
yeah,
though,
maybe it is.
Let's define people here. Like, when he opted out of a $25 million contract, it was fairly clear from everything that I had heard, and from just his action in general, it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out, that like he clearly had more than $20 million in a long-term deal on the table. So, I remember that moment when everyone on Twitter, because that's where you go for the freshest and smartest takes, was like, I can't believe Harrison Barnes turned down $25 million. It's like, no, he opted into 90 or, you know, 80. Let's just say 4 years, 80, I thought was kind of the low bar. Like, you don't opt out of $25 million unless you got 20 on the table. It always made sense. I don't know if it's the best move for the Kings, but, like, they've been gearing up for this ever since they brought him in.
Yeah, I tried to, like, figure out what the break-even point for Harrison Barnes would be declining $25 million. Just given that he is... what he is 27, so yeah. This deal is going to be for year 27, 28, 29, 30 right. of his basketball playing career, so it's going to take him essentially all the way through his prime. We're seeing guys essentially not being able to sign huge deals at age 30
after that, yeah.
right so, or at least like guys in Harrison's position where he's very clearly an NBA starter, not an all-star level player.
Correct.
Basically what you have to decide is, I came up with 472 I thought okay. was the number. At 30 years old, would Harrison Barnes, like, so your break-even point there is turning down seven to get like an average annual value of $18 million. So would he essentially be able to get $11 million at age for his age 31 season? And I think that what I came to was, it's not impossible, but it probably makes more sense for him to lock in there. He ends up with $88 million. At least, which is what, like 24 a year, something like that.
Yeah.
23, I guess.
Yeah.
It's 23. That's fine. Like, it's not like an irrational contract. Like, it,
for
you can make
party.
A case for it. Yeah.
I think it makes absolute perfect sense for Harrison Barnes. Because I think we've probably already seen the best that Harrison Barnes has to offer. And I think that honestly, the best way for him to become a better player in this league is for him to shoot less and try to facilitate more and be more of a versatile kind of guy and maybe be more of an intangibles dude as opposed to a getting buckets dude. And that's going to make it, I mean, listen, some teams value that stuff and they could understand how to quantify it, but some teams are just going to look at how many, you know, points you score per game and say, well, that's not a $20 million a year player or $15 million, you know, at age 30. The other thing too is I think Harrison did a really great job of understanding where the marketplace was. If he goes into free agency next year, I don't think there's going to be as many teams that have cash willing to give it out to him. Specifically, the, you know, like teams like the Kings, who are willing to place bets more or less on a guy like Harrison Barnes because they know they can't get the big time free agents. He understood the marketplace. Him and his representation saw it. This is, you know, he got the windfall when the salary cap spiked in 2016. This is sort of the redux of all of that, where you have about 14, 15 teams that are going to have pretty serious space, and there is some money floating around. It's a bad free agent market next year, in my opinion. We'll see what happens with some guys, and maybe they sign one-year deals, but it's certainly not as robust as this summer. And I don't think there's going to be as many teams with cash going into next summer. So Barnes, I think, has just played the market really well. And on top of that, anytime you can lock in $88 million guaranteed as a non-all-star, I think that you really have to do it.
Yeah, I think that that's probably true. Next summer, I don't think there's going to be as much as what the like projections are in terms of money out there, like people are saying, right? Like people think there's going to be just as much money on the market next year as there is this year.
It doesn't seem like that to me, but I'm no capologist.
Yeah, and like it's going to be a worse free agency market, so thus these guys like Harrison Barnes would be more inclined to get paid more. I don't really think that that's the case. I think there's going to be less. I do think it's a worse free agency market. Like, you can easily talk yourself into Harrison Barnes being a top 10 free agent next year if he was to hit the market.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's smart to lock in now. In terms of like what he's worth, I would have said like $17 million, something like that. Maybe $16 million.
What's Andre Iguodala's making? What, like $14-15 million?
Yeah, I think he's like at 15. So
that's what you got to kind of view.
Andre's at like 17. I think now.
Okay, well, that's what you, I mean. And listen, Andre's a shrewd negotiator. I think that's kind of where you have to peg Harrison Barnes. I mean, they're obviously very different players, but they fulfill somewhat of the same roles for different teams. And Andre certainly on the back end of his career, Harrison kind of right in the prime. I think Harrison probably could have pushed, if we're being totally honest. He probably could have gone out and gotten 25 or more on a shorter term deal from somebody, maybe like the Knicks this summer, a team that was expected to throw out some cash, didn't end up with the guys that they wanted, and now are kind of left holding their dicks and wondering what they're going to do. They might throw a lot of money at Harrison Barnes, but that's a risky play because you could end up in a middle class that almost doesn't exist very much, or it doesn't really exist in the NBA anymore, and you're stuck in that for perpetuity unless you can really do something. And again, I think that the things that you would have to do to knock yourself up a class are things that Harrison has kind of proven over the course of his career that he's not really built for. So I think he read the tea leaves right in locking it at 88. And I think that he'll probably end up being overpaid in some regards. It's hard for me to say that, but like it will never seem like Harrison Barnes is like a star player or anything. But I do think when you look at the way that the Kings have built their roster, or at least you think they want to build their roster, you have to kind of wait and see how they actually do it. I do think that kind of having a guy who can play the three and the four the way that Harrison can, that allows you to switch on most things, it's going to be really key for them going forward. Because let's be honest, if they play their cards right this summer, beyond this Barnes deal, they have a real chance of making the playoffs next year. And I don't think they're a title contender or anything. That'd be ridiculous. But they're on the right trajectory. And next year, that means a 6, 7, or 8 seed.
So here's what I would say. I think Harrison Barnes, like I said, is probably worth like $16 million. So yeah, it's an overpay by like 25%. The Kings, because they're planning on extending Buddy Hield, it seems mm-hmm. like they're planning on, you know, paying De'Aaron Fox a bunch of money at some point. They're probably going to use their cap space this summer, right?
Yes.
They get Harrison Barnes now at a cheaper deal than what they had him at, because the option was 25. So they gain $3 million in cap space. They are going to have a greater ability to go out and maneuver right now in free agency. Mm-hmm. In terms of his game, I don't think this is an Evan Turner situation, for instance. Like, I think Harrison's game just translates a lot better to being a role player.
Yes.
His ability to knock down spot-up shots at a high level is critical. He can kind of help a bench unit pretty substantially just because of his ability to create shots in isolation. As a defender, he's not like a super high-level defender. Like, he's not an all-NBA defender. But
he's switchable. He's solid.
He's switchable. He's athletic. He's a small positive. They're a good team defender. Like, you can make a case for Harrison Barnes being useful, especially whenever he doesn't have to expend as much energy on offense doing those things. So, yeah, I think he's like a very solid starter at this level. I think that, yeah, it's probably an overpay by $5 or $6 million, but it's defensible given that Sacramento is not going to be a cap space team after this summer. He fits their roster. I think that they were actually like positive in terms of net rating when Harrison Barnes was on the floor last year, as opposed to being like a negative, I want to say they were like a -3 or something, -2, -3, whenever Barnes wasn't there. So in the minutes that he played, they were a pretty good team. They were a 500 team. So I look at this and think, you know what? There are worse things to do than run this back with Harrison Barnes. Now you just got to find the right center and you're probably in pretty good shape.
Yeah, and that's my concern. They have this cap space. They can get in it's $37 million, so they can get in a full max guy. Not that guys who are going to be going for the full max are going to go there. My main concern is that they're going to end up spending almost all of that money on a guy on like Patrick Beverley and Wayne Dedmon. And then
here's what they should do. They should be seriously in the mid. Like, if Jimmy Butler is serious about going to Houston, and we'll talk about that in a minute. I'm going to write about that for
I know where you're going. This is a good call. Good call.
They should be in the mix as like the third team in the sign and trade to get Clint Capella.
That's a really good thought.
Yeah, like that's the one that makes the most sense to me. At
and
least
apparently,
personally.
You can get Eric Gordon out of that too.
If I was Philadelphia, I would keep Eric Gordon. But like 100%. I know exactly where you're going with it, and I understand it, and I think you're right. I think that there are just a lot of options now for Sacramento to be able to go out on the market and spend their money. They just have to do it wisely. Let's move on,
though.
Let's talk about which
they've rarely ever done before. So, yeah.
True.
Tricky.
Let's move on and talk about probably more important players than Harrison, I guess.
What are you talking about?
So let's start with the Lakers.
Let us.
The Lakers cleared max cap space because Anthony Davis decided to turn down his trade kicker.
Sam, we have to give credit where it's due here, buddy. You're the first person I heard to suggest the Spring Hill Entertainment laundromat theory, and boy, is it coming through in a big way right now.
Yeah, like I made this joke on the podcast one time, and I tweeted about it yesterday. Like, if I was Houston, I would be doing a very real audit of Spring Hill's books.
Get like the government involved. Hey, Donald Trump, you know how LeBron joking. James called you a bum? Hit him with the IRS, baby.
Like, I'm like 60% joking. Probably less than that, honestly.
I'm not joking anymore. It's all too real. If I was
a team, like, I would really want to know how much Anthony Davis is making to star in Space Jam 2.
There's got to be some CBA ramifications in there, and somehow the Lakers are going to have to give him back to the Pelicans.
I don't think it's that, but, like, I think that you can't really make a case for Anthony Davis making more than, like, the SAG minimum for this right. movie. Maybe you can. Like, maybe his profile, I guess, is just higher than...
Was he in Uncle Drew? I don't know. Has he been in anything? I know one of the reasons that he wanted out of New Orleans was he thought that he was not getting as many marketing opportunities as he thought he should get. The only two that I could think of, he had... like the Pennzoil ad. That's it. And immediately signs with the Lakers and gets like a Ruffles shoe. So, I mean, really, the LA boom is already happening. He's with Ruffles now. But Space Jam 2 coming through.
So he was in Barbershop the Next Cut.
Yes, he was. He was in Barbershop the Next Cut. Wow. Okay.
As himself. So yes. Same deal as what Space Jam 2 is going to be. So maybe, mm-hmm. but like, there's no defense for paying him $4 million to be in Space Jam 2.
I can think of a very clear cut defense, not from an entertainment side, but I can see why LeBron James would be interested in doing that. when the Ruffles check clears, you're willing to throw away the trade kicker. It's just, it's outrageous. It's outrageous and it's hilarious. And listen, I will get on guys sometimes when you're dealing with hundreds of millions of dollars, right? Over like Chris Paul really pushing for the full max and not, you know, taking a little bit of less money, knowing that he's already gotten his massive payday before, or at least theoretically in his prime. To allow the Rockets, whose owner, let's be fair, probably gave misdirection on this, but to let the Rockets keep guys like Trevor Ariza around to help them with the title run. Like, I will go at a guy like Chris Paul for that. So I guess I have to, just not to be a hypocrite, give credit to Anthony Davis for waving his trade kicker to allow the Lakers to be better. Like, this is kind of a trend for some guys. Kevin Durant took a lot less money than he had to join the Warriors. Stephen Curry didn't renegotiate his contract to allow the Warriors to have a bunch of cap space to get Kevin Durant. There are examples of, you know, guys doing the Tom Brady route, and I guess Anthony Davis with the $4 million trade kicker is one of them.
Yeah. Are you talking getting money for your consulting company, like, or whatever it is? Under the table?
It's the TB12 method of circumventing the salary cap, yes.
Like, that is definitely also a thing here.
Yes, I know.
Oh,
like,
God.
I do think, like, so... like,
how does the NFL allow that, by the way?
It's a damn good question. it's... whatever. I mean, like, what are you going to do? Like, it's... I'm not getting into a whole conversation about the IRS and the current state of tax fraud in this country, but, like, let's just say that it's par for the course.
God.
Who are they going to sign with that money, Sam? They got a whole lot of cash. By the way, I think they're $700,000 less than the max, according to Bobby Marks. So they're going to have to someone else is going to have to give up money, and they're going to have to write another – Spring Hill's going to have to write another check for $700,000.
So I think that what's going to happen is – that they are going to go with like a lesser max player and then like use the rest of it to get like an $8 million player.
Okay. So names.
So like Kyrie signs with Brooklyn, they chase D'Angelo Russell, which is funny for like a number of reasons.
yeah.
I know that my guy Mgrads on Twitter, shout out Mgrads. I'm a big fan. Just talked to Marcus today. But M. Grad seems to think, like D'Angelo Russell, according to his Twitter feed, is a very real possibility to the Lakers.
It makes a lot of sense.
Makes sense. They can go out and get D'Angelo, and they can pay another guy?
Yeah. Yeah, you can go out and get D'Angelo, and then you can go and sign like a J.J. Redick type to more or less the mid-level exception contract that you don't, you know, you don't have the non-taxpayer one. So, or maybe they do. I don't know. Nevertheless, like that is probably the best way to fill out a team. I don't see the other thing too is people talk about, oh well, maybe they can swing for Jimmy Butler. Kawhi's not going there. I don't know why people push this narrative. We were talking about this before.
That is a weird thing that recording. ESPN is doing today. Like they're having like Kawhi to the Lakers day.
This is a quiet news day, and here are two names. One of them is inscrutable and just won NBA Finals MVP, so you could really just say whatever the hell you want about him. And the other one is the Lakers, and anytime you say the word Lakers, ratings go up. So this was an inevitable tie. Don't worry, they'll bring up Kevin Durant to the Lakers soon enough.
We'll talk about Durant here in a minute because his deal is fascinating, and we've talked about Kevin a lot this year on the podcast, so we should probably close that loop. But
yeah,
the Lakers are in a genuinely interesting position, obviously already having LeBron and Anthony Davis. They probably should be title favorites if they end up signing a max guy.
I think if they get Russell and another dude on top of it, and this was what I was going to get into before I start, like they need a point guard. Like as much as LeBron has the ball in his hands, like they're going to go out and get a center because Anthony Davis doesn't want to play the five all that much. So you have LeBron at the three.
Easily.
Yes. No, of course. That's the one market that has proven to be veteran minimum rich. And that's another thing that they're going to have a significant advantage on this summer. And I wrote about that today as it pertains to the Warriors. Like the Warriors have been the number one choice. It hasn't panned out all that much, but the number one choice for ring chasers. Why would you go to the Warriors now if you're a ring chaser, especially when you're competing with just LA in general? I mean, I think the Clippers are even a better option in some regards, and that's even if they don't get Kawhi. So you have the LA factor. You have the fact that LeBron was able to recruit dudes to go to Cleveland. So how easy is it going to be for him now? The fact that they're probably the title favorites, or at least the Western Conference favorites at the moment. Like that's a big issue. The Warriors need to fill out their roster with a bunch of minimum guys. And I think the Lakers are going to have their pick of the litter when it comes to that. But they need a point guard. And if Kyrie is going to the Nets, as all indications show that he is, it's Kyrie, so until I see it on the dotted line, I won't really buy it. But they need a point guard, and I think D'Angelo Russell would actually fit a lot of things they do because he can play off ball in an effective way. And listen, you're not getting much of a defensive guy with Kyrie. I don't think you get much with that on Russell, but then you can take the two guard spot and go out and try to get somebody who's more of a lockdown and can guard opposing point guards, and then you have a really fucking good basketball team all of a sudden.
Well, we know that, we don't know this, but like the assumption would seem to be that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is probably getting that like $4.8 million room exception they have.
Okay.
Like,
I mean, yeah.
Given the clutch connection there.
That's valid. He might get more. It might be the $8 million a year player.
But like, they've like kind of, you know, taking care of him, I guess is the way to put it, like in a way.
Oh yeah,
like
Clutch has been grooming him as a mole for years, and then LeBron comes in, and now it's really time to pay up. He's made he's gonna make like $50 million something bucks off of the Lakers over the last 3 years, I think, when it's all said and done.
Yeah, so thus far in his career, he has made it's like $41 million, $42 million, and then he'll have this year. So
yeah.
That's
and my favorite. I mean, I think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's like a nice, solid role player.
Totally reasonable to sign him to a room exception deal.
Totally reasonable. I just can't get over the fact that 1 year he couldn't leave the state of California because he was on house arrest. Like that shit was hilarious.
That wasn't super great.
No, wasn't awesome.
I mean, so like, if you were the Lakers, would you try and sign a max guy, or would you try and split it into like Bobby Portis? You know, like X, Y, and Z. You know what I mean?
I would try to go and get Al Horford.
Would I try and Al Horford and Anthony Davis and LeBron? That's interesting. It's harder to find guards, so I think I'd rather spend the money on guards than Al Horford. But
I agree with that. But I just like Al Horford, and I want him to thrive in a big market or a bigger market. Yep. It's I think that the best path is Russell with a little bit of room to go and get another dude. That's the best play. And in fact, I would prefer that if I were the Lakers to just going and paying Kyrie what he wants. As much as the narrative has been created that Kyrie and LeBron are now on speaking terms, it's really easy to have a good relationship after a bad breakup when you're across the country from each other. I speak from experience. Like the second they get back on the same team, all the same shit's going to bubble up again. And now Anthony Davis isn't going to break that stuff up. He's just a taller, more athletic Kevin Love in this scenario. So like, I just don't see those two getting back together. And the peculiarity of what's happening on the East Coast with the Nets and the Knicks and KD and Jay Williams and Kyrie is I can't even delve into it and make sense of it all for anybody. So I certainly won't try, but, I think Russell is, if you can get over the peculiarity of his exit, Magic being out opens up, I would argue, a pretty easy path for him to return. I think that works out great. And I think, honestly, that the Lakers are going to do some pretty shrewd things with the sort of bottom half of the roster. They have to sign a lot of dudes. I mean, a lot of dudes.
Throw out what I think they could do with like three guys. Would you rather have D'Angelo Russell and let's say, because what, they'll have like $6 million.
What would the Russell contract be? What is the break? What is the break?
The max
number
is
there?
27. So it would give them like $5 million. Let's say he takes maybe like a couple million less.
Basically like, another taxpayer mid-level exception.
Yeah, it'd be like you could maybe keep Reggie Bullock. You could maybe sign
Curry.
Like Seth Curry is like a $7 million a year guy, and like you can
Jesus
go Seth
Christ,
and
what happened there?
Seth and D'Angelo Russell, and maybe that's it. And then you have LeBron and Anthony Davis, or you could do let's say Bobby Portis at $13 million.
Yeah,
Danny Green at 10.
Yeah.
So that's 23. Darren Collison at 10. That gets us to 33 plus the room exception.
I would rather go with Russell. I would rather have the guy that I want on the court for 40 minutes a night. Danny.
Let's say Trevor Ariza. Like maybe like Trevor Ariza, Danny Green, and Darren Collison. Like you could just do all wings and then sign a minimum center.
It's a good option, and there's going to be minimum centers out there. My concern with Ariza is that once the boulder starts rolling down the hill, it's very hard to stop, and it looks like it's rolling down the hill. Danny, listen, I was just around Toronto. I mean, the book on Danny is, and the reason that he was on the Raptors in the first place is people don't think he can run anymore, and he looked all sorts of hobbled. Now, he's Danny Green. You give him a wide-open shot in the NBA Finals, he's bound to knock down a few of them, but you look at his numbers over the last two rounds of the playoffs, he wasn't there. And so a lot of the things that you think you're buying in Danny Green, I don't think are going to be there going forward. I think that we've already seen far and away the best that Danny Green had to offer, and I think that it's going to be really the rest of his career could prove to be pretty problematic because he just can't get up and down the floor anymore, and that's kind of an important part of his game. So I would actually stay away from the Danny Greens at the numbers that are being thrown out. Now, someone will take that risk, I assure you. It might be Toronto keeping them, but I think that's too much of a risk for a team that all they have to do is be able to get capable bodies on the floor. Yes, Green has a higher ceiling, but I think his floor has gotten lower compared to some of the other guys that they can sign with that money.
What about Patrick Beverley, Terrence Ross, and Dewayne Dedmon?
I like that three-man combo. I think I would rather have, and Dedmon's going to cost some money from he was a guy that the Warriors had targeted.
Let's say like $9 million or something
for
Dedmon.
He might be well above 10. In fact, there might be a bidding war on Dewayne Dedmon. So I like it. I still think you have to optimize a point guard. I think that you get the best point guard out there, and again, they're going to have pick of the litter on minimum guys, and you can get some dudes who can just do one or two things effectively for the minimum and that mid-level, whereas you can't really go out and get an elite point guard who can run the second unit when LeBron's off the floor, who can play off-ball when LeBron is on the floor or on-ball. can create a, you know, a nice high pick and roll game with Anthony Davis at the four or the five. I think that if you optimize that, now you are you just have the spine of your team completely covered at the 1-3 and, let's be honest here, the five. I think that you just have to optimize point guard. And I think that while there are probably better options than D'Angelo Russell, I think for the price point and for the personnel that I think is most likely to be around him with the Lakers, not just the two guys that are actually on the team, but with Bullock as well, who I think they probably have to keep given his ability to space the floor and the relatively cheap costs that that he carries. Like, and then minimum guys who, again, you don't want to move in all that much, but they can knock down an open shot if they're given the chance. Like, I think that's probably the best way to go.
Yeah, you can do Russell at his full max, keep mm-hmm. Reggie Bullock's $4.75 million cap hold on the books.
If nothing else, that's a decent enough trade chip down the line.
Right.
Not that they have any draft picks.
So the answer could be Russell, Bullock, let's say, like a guy at $4.5 million. Who do I think that could be? I think Seth Curry's probably above $4.5 million.
Yeah, I've heard
4.8, I think, is the number.
I've heard conflicting stuff on how much Seth Curry's going to get. I would venture to say that he probably falls through the cracks a little bit, and he's around there at 4.8.
Here's a name. Maybe it's Noah Vonleh. It's like 4.8.
That's an interesting thought, because you don't want to go with the strong five necessarily. I don't know. Is Noah Vonleh really going to demand that kind of money? I mean, a guy like a Wayne Ellington or...
The problem is that like 4.8 just isn't a lot in this market.
No, but L.A. has the appeal, and playing with LeBron on a title contender has the appeal, and it's more than the minimum.
I think Vonleh's good. Maybe this is the disconnect here. I think Noah Vonleh's actually good.
Yeah, it took him a while. No, I know what you're talking about. There were flashes.
Ed Davis, maybe?
Oh, you know I love me some Ed Davis. That's a viable option. What I think you have to do is you have to start, and this is no different than any other team, but you have to start with who's going to close for you, right? So you already have your center in Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is your closing five. If he's not, it's malpractice on Frank Vogel. You have LeBron as your closing 1-4, and then you have Russell as your closing 1-2. So you're just going to need to get two wings. And I would venture to say that one of them needs to be a real spot-up shooter, and the other one needs to be a defensive ace.
Yeah, so maybe it's – so you keep Rodney Bullock – or not Rodney Bullock, fuck. Reggie Bullock.
And
you find, like, a defender.
Yeah. So maybe a guy like Avery Bradley, as trash as he has been as of late.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Maybe that's worth a minimum.
Avery Bradley, did he take that money, though? Or did Memphis decline him?
Yeah, I think he was declined. I didn't actually do the backstory. I've just his name has been ballied about, and I never actually asked for the context. So let's just presume that's the case where he's available, because I don't know why Memphis would really want to keep him. He wasn't all that good.
Yeah, he was really bad last year.
He was really bad. Trying to think of other guys. Beverly's not going to be there. Beverly, the come up. Patrick Beverly had the best first round series of anyone in NBA history, just by money, or maybe Bismack Biyombo. But like unbelievable. He was looked at as sort of a league minimum guy, and then a mid level guy, then a cap room mid level, so like the full 9.7, and now it's like he's going to get 15, 16, 17 million. He's a regular Harrison Barnes, which I guess makes sense, but. Just pretty dramatic in the shift in a short period of time of how much money he can get. He would have been perfect for them. It's hard. Listen, there's not a lot of twos out there that are defense first, that are at least capable on the offensive end. You should absolutely be able to find a bunch of spot up shooters. Like, what's Chandler Parsons doing? Is he still under contract?
Still under contract. He's got one more year on that 25 mil.
Why don't they just buy that out?
Because they actually do need spacing next to John Morant next year.
Valid. Okay. I mean, they're going to... I think JR to the Lakers is pretty much a lock. Though it kind of needs to get done here pretty soon, given the grandfather clause with the contract. So, some peculiarity.
Well, JR will get traded somewhere else, and then it'll get cut and then signed.
Yeah, but my understanding, though, is that the guarantee date on that contract is looming. And if you don't soon...
He'll get cut. Like, don't... J.R. Smith, I'm sure, will be cut, because he's not going to get paid $15 million next year. It's just not going to happen.
So you have J.R. And listen, like, for all of J.R.'s faults, like, as a seventh, eighth man, you're on the minimum contract. You're in really good shape. the issue with the Cavs was he was like their fourth best player.
I don't know if JR is like capable of being a seventh or eighth man anymore, but he's worth a flyer.
I disagree with that. On a minimum contract, I'm willing to take the JR. I'm willing to ride the JR Smith train.
Yeah, no, like I would sign him to a minimum, but like I'm saying, like, I don't know that I would expect, like, you know, he can be your seventh man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Who are some combo guards or you know, 3-and-D guys
that find wings on the minimum? Like
that's extremely true.
Talk about Houston real quick. Like Houston's trying to do Jimmy Butler, and they're going to hard cap themselves at 138 when they have three guys at 113 total Butler, Paul, and James Harden.
Right,
that's tricky. Like it's really, really hard to find the wings. Like you can say, like, oh, we'll take a flyer on Stanley Johnson. We'll take a flyer on J.R. Smith. Like
I do kind of like. I'm going to be a big fan of the flyer on Stanley Johnson play, though. Like I feel like that's worth it, for some of these teams that are in a position where they, you know, they're just picking at the bottom of the barrel. Sorry, Stanley, but like is what it is. That's a good spot. What about Wesley Matthews for the Lakers?
If you had to guess where J.R. Smith is on the all-time three-pointers made list, where would you guess?
7th.
13th, but he needs to make, to get into the top 10, he needs to make 59 this year.
Oh my God, that's it?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Like J.R. Smith is 71 threes away from having 2,000 made threes in his career. I love J.R. Smith facts. J.R. Smith is like I would love for J.R. Smith to be good again. Like
it'd be fantastic. Okay, a couple of names. I'm just on here's the big old list. A couple of names to throw out for the Lakers, and then we do have to talk about the Houston Rockets. No, he's going to be too expensive. Trey Burke.
Sure.
I think Austin Rivers is going to be too expensive, but he might be a mid-level guy. Jake Lehman.
Jake is restricted.
Damn. Well, then they should not do that. Probably should have seen that right there. The RFA part. TJ McConnell. Not closer.
He can't shoot, so I probably wouldn't go for it, but yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Here's a random name I would try.
Wesley Matthews, Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, maybe. Both of those guys, sure. I would try and take a flyer on Christian Wood if I was them.
Okay. Yeah, why not?
6'11 guy who can knock down shots from distance. Like, might not be anything, but
it might be something.
Worse ideas.
For sure.
Christian Wood also is an unrestricted guy, I believe. Trying to think who else here.
You're 100% right, though. The 3-and-D guys are going to cost too much, and there's not a lot of twos out there. Twos don't really exist.
One of the like shrewder things that the Clippers have done over the last year was getting Rodney Magruder. I wonder if Magruder ends up being like just a casualty if they end up using their cap space. Maybe not.
That's true.
Like it's so low that like it might not be, but
I can't imagine they're not playing it that tight. I mean, that'd be a lot. A lot of things would have to go right for them to have to drop Rodney Magruder.
Yeah, it's true. Let's see here. We've got
David Nwaba still restricted. Jesus Christ. It seems like he's been in the league for 40 years. James Ennis.
Sure.
Ian Clark's not very good. So probably not Ian Clark.
Shout out Ian Clark, man.
I like Ian Clark. Ian Clark's a great guy. All these things, but no, it's not happening. Corey Brewer for his, 13th NBA season. In fact, just lock that in right now. You know, Corey Brewer's going to end up on the Lakers. He'll never play, but he'll just be there. Quincy Pondexter.
I mean, if they decide that they want to play like a wild switching defense, like Nerlens isn't a bad idea.
Oh, Nerlens is such a great idea for them, by the way. I can't believe that spaced me. Like, Nerlens is the perfect starting five for them. I mean, they could do better, but like, that's the kind of. Because I was thinking, like, hell, bring JaVale back. But it's like, screw that. No, Nerlens is going to be.
I bet JaVale is there next year.
I would bet on it, too. I would also start Nerlens over JaVale, by far.
Well, the thing with Nerlens is I think you're going to have to use your room exception to get him. Like, you probably do have to pay him the 4.8.
Maybe. Yeah, probably.
Do it. So, like, that would reduce the Kentavious Caldwell Pope of it all.
Which I don't think that they can get away with that.
KCP's like actually kind of good.
Like, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying that like you need dudes who can knock down an open shot and can defend at a fairly decent level. Like, I think you kind of have to have KCP, just like you have to bring back Reggie Bullock as just somebody who can knock down a corner three. Like, you just have to do it. Rodney Hood would be a good
sign. I think Rodney's probably going to get 10.
Damn, that's what I'm talking about. Like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the middle class is entirely back.
Well, there's so much cap space and there's so much... there's so many guys that are available that I think we're going to get like some of those middle class deals this year that are like 10 mil.
Troy Daniels.
Sure. Troy Daniels can shoot. Do your thing, Troy.
What's Elfrid Payton going to do?
I don't know.
That'll be an interesting, that'll be
I
an
would
interesting
think
one.
Someone
I look,
like,
I look forward to finding out who gives him the minimum.
I think he's going to get more than the minimum.
Just so optimistic for all these guys. At some point, the money runs out.
Yeah, but like, there's a lot of cap space out there.
Yeah, that's true.
And there are very, there aren't a lot of like max guys. Like there are a lot of max guys,
true.
But like
that's
they're going to go to, you know, fewer spaces than the max level space that's out there, right? There are probably like 14 teams with max space and probably like 8 of them will fill it with a max player maybe.
No,
so
right.
Like maybe
and
less than that.
Do you hold on to it or do you spend it? They always spend it. Those are stupid.
Yeah, I was gonna say. But like, so Elfrid Payton last year averaged 10.6 points, 7.6 assists, 5.2 rebounds.
He looked a lot better last year.
Yeah, like he was actually like fine last year.
Yeah, agreed.
Darren Collison's another guy that like if I was a team, I would be very happy to spend $9 million a year on Darren Collison.
Yep. I can get behind that. Not a lot of middle class point guards.
Yeah, and like if you're a team that needs a point guard, like if I was Chicago, I would try and steal Tyus Jones. Like everyone's connecting Pat Beverly with them.
Yeah.
I would be like, Tyus, I would rather give you $13 million a year to try and steal you, and see if Minnesota with a GM that didn't trade for or didn't draft him, and you know a team that has Andrew Wiggins on a max spot and.
Right.
It has to deal with Jeff Teague's deal for this year. See if they're willing to like go deep into this, you know, heavy money.
What if the Lakers just brought back D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle with that money?
I mean, they can't. Julius is going to get 20, but
who's going to give Julius Randle $20 million?
Julius Randle averaged like 20 and
no.
Year.
No one's arguing. I'm just saying who's going to do it. Just shoot me down with the name.
If I was Sacramento, I probably would consider it. Like I said, Dallas on the last podcast. Like if I was Dallas, I would probably do that.
Okay. Okay. That's two. Confirmed.
I'm trying to think what other teams have space.
You know who's definitely going to end up on the Lakers?
I think Chicago. Like you could make.
Oh
no,
Jesus Christ! Because Lord knows they need more front court.
Right, but like they're dumb enough to do it.
Yes, implied when you said Chicago.
Right. If you're Indiana and you're decided on trading one of Sabonis or Turner and you want to play Randle at the four and just like play him next to a floor spacer, like you can maybe do that. Maybe you decide to trade Sabonis and you want to get a guy that can be like a different Sabonis. But
thick Sabonis.
Thick Sabonis, yeah. Like more athletic, less like... You know, passing IQ Sabonis, like maybe that's
right.
The move.
Not really operating out of the high post other than to run as hard as he can at the hoop.
But like he runs triple handoff stuff. Like you can like make a lot of interesting, you know, parallels there.
Or you could just keep Sabonis, who's cheaper and
he's not going to be cheap for long, though.
Yeah, but might as well, you know, buy in on the time.
Well, here's what I would say. So would you rather have Julius Randle, Miles Turner and your cap space? Or if you're Indiana, would you rather use your cap space on Julius Randle, trade Sabonis for something where the player doesn't really have a choice to go to Indiana? Like if you're basically my point is like if you can get someone to go to Indiana via free agency, you should take that and then move the piece to somewhere else.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'll tell you one guy who's going to be on the Lakers, though. Amon Shumpert.
Depends on what Houston does. There's like a real case that Houston should probably pay Amon Shumpert like $13 million next year. And
what?
Just like make it as a contract
just
that you can trade, because they don't have a lot of players that are in that like salary matching window.
Okay, let's talk about the Rockets, because we've been diving around Beth just like random names. We're remembering some guys here. This Jimmy Butler thing, like I guess it's feasible, right? But It doesn't
feel feasible. Right. You can easily do the sign and trade with three teams. Like, the mechanics of it are pretty simple.
Kind of already gone through them, yeah.
I think it would hard cap them at 138. They would have 113 with three guys. They would need to then either decide, basically, they would have to get rid of Clint Capela and Eric Gordon to do it. Like, no yes. question. So yes. you would either have, you have $25 million left. PJ Tucker gets about $8 million. Mm-hmm. So you could have $17 million, $16 million to spend over the course of
How many like guys nine would have to
players?
Sign with that?
Nine players? Or you could have $24 million to spend over the course of 10 players. Wow. To me, the hard cap math makes this a move that they shouldn't do. But they seem they want to try it.
Do you see the video of the guy making fries? It's like adding Jimmy Butler to a locker room with James Harden and Chris Paul. He's like cautiously about to drop him in. He drops him in and the entire thing catches on fire. Yeah, I haven't laughed at a video that hard on Twitter in a long time.
It seems not great to me to do that. But
I think it's going to be fantastic. I'm in it for the content.
It'll be good for the content. I wouldn't do it.
Can you admit?
Like, it just reeks of desperation for me, I guess. Like,
desperation the Rockets, sometimes brings out good things.
The Rockets should be one of the two favorites to win the title next year if they keep the guys together.
Yes.
They were really good in the last 50 games of the year. Like,
well, Clint Capela was really bad against the Warriors for like three games, so therefore he's apparently now trash. Like,
yeah,
I don't get
that either.
I don't. They are, to say that this reeks of desperation, it's like, what have we been doing here? Like, everything has this franticness to it over there. And, I think Daryl's a very, calculated, shrewd guy. The knock on him is that, he doesn't really understand people. And then you got Fertitta, who thinks that he totally understands people, but it's just like a weird egomaniac dude. Like, I just think that there's a combustibility at the top there, which has only been expressed through the Mike D'Antoni saga. How would you expect two mercurial alpha dog stars to respond when this is how the parents are acting?
Right. I don't know. Like, I don't really want to spend a lot of time on Houston because I just think it's a mess, right?
It's a mess. It's a hot
Kemba
mess.
Walker? Seems like he's going to Boston.
That escalated quickly, no?
Yeah, like Adrian Wojnarowski just reported that they're the favorite, I guess.
Which means it's done.
You would think, yeah.
He doesn't tweet that out. Like, that is too ambiguous to tweet out unless it's going to be right.
Yeah, it seems like
I guess credit to Danny Ainge on that, right?
Yeah, like great replacement for Kyrie. They lose Al Horford, but... and that'll play like a significant role in them getting worse next year.
For sure.
But Jason Tatum's only
19 years old, guys.
Right. They've recovered as well as they possibly could have from this.
Yes. Oh, it could have been wholesale disaster. So you have a good point guard. It's not too expensive. I mean, he's getting what the Charlotte Hornets thought he was worth. Michael Jordan has been truly blessed by the fact that Scottie Pippen's name rhymed with no Tippin, because really they were two peas in a pod with that cheap bastard. Nevertheless, Charlotte's going to suck for a long, long time. That sucks. But Boston, nice job. The Horford thing is weird. I don't necessarily know why he wanted out.
Didn't think they were going to contend next year, probably. I mean, and he has, okay. I think he has like a 4-year, the report from Mark Stein is he has a 4-year, $100 million offer on the table.
And what was Boston going to do?
Well, Boston didn't want to sign him for that much, apparently. They didn't want to go that many years.
I just don't know how you just don't give him the money. I mean, I get it. He's 33.
Yeah, I honestly wouldn't. Like, the names.
But it's right there. It's right there for you. You got to take it.
The team that is circulated most with... Well, here's the thing, though. They can't sign Kemba if they keep Horford.
So Danny Ainge was ahead of it. Kaiser Sursay, this whole situation.
Little bit, yeah. Like, it was either we keep Al and we try and pay him, $25 million a year and we're stuck with Al Horford and the young kids, or we're stuck with Kemba Walker and the young kids.
Especially at a center position where there's a lot of options available.
Yes, and Kemba's 4 years younger. Like, I would have done what Danny did, but it's just, it's tough.
It keeps you respectable, but you're not going to get back to the same ceiling. That's that'll be interesting. Be interesting to see what they do, because if they can go out and get a really good center on the cheap, and maybe some of them fall down in price, that could be a really good situation for them. Find out.
Yeah, and I think they will. Trying to think, is there anything else? that you want to run through?
Our periodic Kevin Durant let's check in moment. No one knows what he's going to do. No one will ever know what he's going to do until he signs with somebody. Stop guessing. That's my official stance on Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you
it
had
seems
to...
like Brooklyn has the lead.
I'm all for Kevin. This is a we want Kevin Durant to be happy podcast. Yes. Whatever will make Kevin Durant happy, that's what I'm rooting for.
I have said this time and time again. If you're trying to figure out Kevin Durant, get in line because he's first in it. Like,
I would love it for Kevin to be happy. That's all I want.
I hope he finds fulfillment in whatever it is he does. That would be excellent because he's too talented and too nice of a guy in general to be this angsty.
Yeah, and to like just seem like he doesn't derive enjoyment from all of this.
Which, listen, understandable. Like, most of this is bullshit and unnecessary. At the same time, like, I guess money can't buy you happiness. I guess we're finding that out. Kevin Durant teaching us life lessons every day.
That's true. Sad. I think that's about all we need.
Yeah, that will do it. We got the heart out.
Did you watch any movies recently that you feel the need to get off your chest?
So, I have not been watching movies. I do have some slated for the flight from Seattle to Edinburgh because fuck my life. And but I'll tell you, I have YouTube TV. YouTube TV jacked up their price like $15 a month, kind of not telling anybody so that we could all get HGTV, which of course then only locked us further into the YouTube TV ecosystem in the Kurtenbach household. But as sort of a late term olive branch, they said, hey, everybody gets Showtime for like the next 4 months for free because we kind of screwed you over with that price increase. I never had Showtime. I go, oh, okay. I used to watch Jesus and Meryl all the time on Viceland, so that's good. I can watch that now. And then I started watching Billions. And
listen. What a show.
I am not proud of this, but I think I'm all the way in.
Oh, no, I'm definitely. I have not caught up on the new season, but I'm all the way in on Billions.
It is like, it's like a different brand of Entourage. Like, it's super douchey in so many ways, but it has just enough of, like, that Sorkian pacing and, like, just enough intrigue on the general political drama aspect of it all. It's like House of Cards, but we add a hedge fund. Like,
how far into it are you?
Just started the second season.
Okay, so you haven't caught Taylor yet.
We just got introduced to Taylor.
So that's where the show really starts to pick up.
Oh boy, I was already binging it before that. Like, there was one night where I started at like 11 p.m. It's like, oh shit, it's 3:30. I've watched a lot of Billions.
Last night, I watched Eighth Grade. I finally saw Eighth Grade.
Oh, I couldn't get through Eighth Grade. It was too painful.
It's very painfully awkward.
It's so painfully awkward and maybe too real.
It also, like...
Very good.
Like, I don't think I've smiled more at, like, the positive moments, like, in a movie this year.
Oh, that's a very nice thought. My chest hurt too much, so I had to stop.
Right. Like, that happened with me, too. Like, I don't think I've felt more watching a movie than Eighth Grade.
Oh, it was so much. Like, I got through, like, I think 40 minutes. And I'm like, there's just no way. Like, this is going to fuck me up for the rest of my life because I'm just every bit of teenaged angst and confusion that I ever had to live through is coming back via proxy. And it is not fun. And I thought I buried that shit way down deep. And please never come back.
Yeah, I thought it was an exceptional movie.
Yeah, Bo Burnham. Very smart guy.
It was really good. I also don't know that I enjoyed it.
Yes, that was ultimately my takeaway, which is like, this is very good. I would like to support a very good thing, but this hurts too much and I must stop.
Like, so, like, there are parallels to be drawn between this and like Love, Simon, for instance. Have you seen Love, Simon?
I have not.
So Love, Simon to me was also about like mental health and like teenage angst and going through, you know, like Love, Simon's about a kid going through, you know, coming out and going through just like the feelings of figuring out that you're gay. And
so some real feel good stuff. I mean, in no way challenging.
Right. But like, it did it in a way that I found enjoyable to watch. And like, I like just thoroughly loved that movie. Right.
Okay. Okay.
Eighth Grade was just like exceptionally well made, much in the same way that I thought Love, Simon was, but was hard to watch and was, it put the gaze on the
deliberately so. I mean,
yeah, like, no, for sure. It absolutely was.
I mean, the theme of the movie was just teenage angst.
Yeah. And it was, yeah. Honestly, like, it was, like I said, like, I have not felt more. Like, there were parts of the movie where I was just, like, smiling and, like, laughing. It, like,
I ended up on the floor at one point, just cringing.
I'm trying to think, what else have I seen recently? Child's Play. Child's Play is exactly what you think it is. If you're into it, go see it.
So, not good.
No, it was fine. Like, Aubrey Plaza was really good. The kid was really good. Mark Hamill was really good as Chucky. Like, if that's what you're into, go for it.
Yeah.
I think I said on the last podcast that I like Men in Black International.
You said that, yes.
Yeah, like, it was good. Just don't go into things disliking things because it's like a sequel or whatever. For what that movie was, it was fun. Just go see it. If that's what you're into. Like, if you're into watching Chris Hemsworth ham it up and Tessa Thompson be awesome and Emma Thompson ball out, like, just, you know, and Kumail Nanjiani be hilarious, just go see it and let it wash over you. Don't go in thinking too hard about it.
That's what they should put on the poster. Like, don't try to make this a bigger thing than it actually is.
Seriously, there would be, people would go see a movie if that's how you marketed it. Like, if they market Men in Black 6 or whatever the fuck this next Men in Black will be after Men in Black International, because I'm sure.
Well, they will never stop making them because original ideas apparently died in the year 2011.
Right. So, like, if they make another one, it should say, just don't overthink it. Just fucking watch it.
I mean, they should market light beer the same way.
Yes, 100%. This is what I'm
like. Don't overthink this. You know what you want. This will make you feel a little better.
Is just golden. That's what you want. It's a little bit of natty light. So the last thing that I do want to talk about, real quick, and this will be a hard transition, is so.
Oh boy, logging
on Deadspin. Deadspin just released a story about Pete Philo, who's been on this podcast a couple times, and who I've talked with, you know, quite a bit over the course of my life, how he was convicted of rape 20 years ago. And I, you know, the first that I'd heard of this was the Deadspin article, obviously. As far as I know, this was not a well-known thing in NBA circles. I've never heard anything talk about it or anyone talk about it. Never heard a single thing about it. Probably a story there in terms of, like, background checks in regard to NBA front offices. But nonetheless, you know, but at the end of the day, what I agreed with most at the top of the article was what Dave McKenna said, that, like, you can't hide certain parts of your past, right? So at the end of the day, what happened is he's been on this podcast twice, and I've deleted those episodes of the podcast because, like, I don't want to promote TPG Sports Group, which is what he was in charge of running. And, you know, whenever he was on the podcast, he ended up promoting TPG. And I just don't think that that's right to have him on the podcast and promote those things for anyone going back and listening to past episodes. So I went back and deleted those. Certainly won't be promoting that product again. So, yeah, I just wanted to go ahead and mention that for everyone. I'm not going to, like, hide it. Obviously, I don't feel great about having had a guy that was a convicted rapist on the podcast. But nonetheless, I figured I should just share that little note.
That was well done, I think. Tricky situation. Shitty situation. Shitty.
Yeah, it's so, shitty all around. Like, I feel shitty for having had him on the podcast. You know, and
yeah,
having
you didn't know.
Really converse with him. Yeah, I had no idea.
And, like, listen, I said, you didn't run a background check on me when I started coming on.
Yeah, I feel like I'm gonna have to do that. But, like, part of the
use that game theory money, baby.
Part of the article is that Dave McKenna wrote was just, like, how it was so hidden because it was, like, expunged from records and stuff. So yeah,
that's,
like,
crazy.
I think it's like pretty fucked up. And yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know that, like, I've deleted those episodes and certainly they won't be listened to anymore. So and I don't think, yeah, like, I don't think I had advertisers for them. I'm going to run back through my records. If I had advertisers for them, I will make sure and donate that money that I got for it to charity. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, there's just no reason to have those out there in the ether anymore. That'll be it for this episode, though. We'll be back probably
always ended on a good note.
Always ended on a good note. We'll be back on Monday or Tuesday.
You bring it back, Cole? By the way, while everyone's on here, boy, those draft previews were a complete blessing with you and Cole. So just wanted to congratulate both of you. I guess
big
I'll congratulate
you,
Cole. Big help. The only help that I received.
I apologize that we didn't talk about Jordan Poole.
Yeah, that information would have been extremely valuable had anyone seen that shit coming.
I did. I said that they bought 41.
You did.
They bought 41 from the Hawks. I thought that they bought 41 to take Jordan Poole because I knew that they liked him.
Anytime you can get a Nick Young comp at 28, you got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, like, there are worse things than Nick Young.
No, he's exactly.
Oh, timeout. No. We gotta end this real quick on a positive note. I swear, I think you did this just to see if I'm reading your articles online.
Oh, yeah.
You misspelled my name in your article that Bay Area News Group.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing, man? Come on.
I got it fixed for print and then I forgot to fix it online. Like, I noticed it and then it was loose. That was legitimately, though, my first thought when I'm like, I cited you and I go, oh, I misspelled it. You know what? Let's see how long it takes. I want to see
legit,
what this.
Yeah, I was going to say, I legit thought that you did that just to check to see if I'm reading you. I'm reading you. I saw that.
I know. Sometimes I leave these little Easter eggs, which, don't worry, they totally embarrass me. And I'm willing to take these hits.
Oh, man.
Yeah, maybe I should change that now. I don't think anyone's reading it now. I'm going to leave it. It'll be our little secret.
Go rate, review, and subscribe.
It did get fixed for print, I guarantee it.
On iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Android, whatever you listen to the podcast on.
I can't believe you fucking caught that. That's hilarious.
I did catch that. I'm
super creeped out now that was your first thought. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
We'll be back next week, probably Monday or Tuesday, to talk about free agency, because free agency starts on Sunday. So until next time, we'll talk soon. Bye.